Grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will read the text written in St. Mark in the first chapter, verses 14 and 15. And the words are in Jesus' name. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Amen. The Swedish text is from the New Bible. First, I would like to say, like the prophet Isaiah said in his time, "Look at Zion, the festive city. Your eyes shall see Jerusalem." It is great joy filling my heart. When I see the festive people here in Sjörefard, it is a great miracle in our eyes. God has greatly blessed us. We can only thank God of all this. Especially, I would like to wish all Swedish-speaking people welcome here. You are welcome. We have now got services here in this area after 95 years. The last time the services were here in 1920 in the city center, and there were about 6,000 people. And now there are expected some 75,000 people here. Much has happened during those 95 years. During the 30 years, there was a great heresy. And the enemy of their soul brought many people upon the wrong way. Only the stump or the roots were left. But today we can rejoice that God has increased his people in the Vasa area. And we pray from God. That he will still, through faith, guide sinful people into his kingdom through faith. It may be you, village inhabitant or other service guest. You have come here out of curiosity to see, to look. What kind of people have come to Cedarfield? You did well when you came. I would like to ask you, what do you see? You have probably noticed how many children and youth are here at Cedarfield. And perhaps you think, what matter, what issue gets so many people, what gets people to come to the summer services? The simple answer is, that we want to come together to hear the Word of God, to meet travel friends, and to receive strengthening to our weak faith through the Gospel. And we pray to God that He would awaken the conscience of such listener that who is traveling on the outside of God's kingdom, and so that God can guide even one person into the kingdom through the Gospel. That is proclaimed here at the summer services. The will of God is still that not one would be lost into damnation, that he would receive eternal life. God loves sinful people, but he hates sin. In the services, we can still hear the recommendation of the Good Shepherd that Isaiah proclaimed in his time. Seek the Lord when you can still find Him. Call Him for help when He is near. Godless, forget what you have done. Return to the Lord. He will give you grace, and to God, for He has much forgiveness. It is also so God warns people, as it is said in the book of Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews, For that reason, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in your bitterness on the day of temptation in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me, even though they had seen my acts for 40 years. Now God has come near. He calls you onto repentance. Just now, He approaches you through His Word. The kingdom of God is nigh, in the midst of people. In the beginning of our text, it says, now after that John has put into prison, why was John in prison? Because he had rebuked the King Herodias. Because he had taken his brother's wife and had committed adultery. Truth is not acceptable to the people today, of that day and today. Our text continues. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel. In another translation, it says that he preached the word of God. The message of God is also preached here at the summer services. We pray to God so that God Himself would proclaim the gospel in those sermons that are held here. So the preachers borrow our mouths, and the Good Shepherd can speak through the preachers to the hearts of the listener. I would like to tell what happened a few years ago at the church here nearby a few years ago. I had preached there in Swedish. An older villager had come to services, and at coffee break, I asked him, did you understand anything of my sermon? Because there were so many mistakes. He answered quickly. He and she, and the, I understood. After a few years, we met again in a Malahti church. When we greeted one another, I reminded him what he had said earlier to me. It moved me. He looked at me seriously and said, "The message is the most important." It hit me in the middle. For that reason, even though there are many mistakes in my sermon, nevertheless, you would listen to the message. It is the most important here at the services. And for that reason, we have arranged the summer services. If God would find even one who is searching for His will, and who wants the peace of God and the forgiveness of sin in his heart, this we offer in the gospel that is preached here. Perhaps you ask, what was the message of God? The text here brings four important points up. First, the time has fulfilled. It meant this. God had fulfilled His promise. The Messiah had come upon the earth. Now, that had come that crushed the head of the serpent, as God Himself prophesied in paradise. But people saw in Him only a person that was not acceptable to those others. And it so happened, as Isaiah prophesied of the Messiah, we saw Him, but He had no shape that we would like. He was that everyone covered their face, poor that we didn't like either. When Jesus preached in His hometown, in the synagogue of His own home city, for the first and perhaps the last time, people looked at Him and were admired. The great man of our village is come, and He is now teaching us. Jesus read from the book of Isaiah, where He was prophesied about. And He preached, "Today this writing has been fulfilled for your ears to hear." And all proclaimed a good witness and were amazed at those words of grace that came from His mouth. But after a little while, they started to think, "He is the son of Joseph." Matthew writes, they thought and said, "Where did He get this wisdom and great acts? Is this not the son of the carpenter? Isn't He the son of Mary and the brother of Joseph and Jacob and Simon and Judah? And are His sisters not in our midst? Where did all this come from?" And they became angry, and they wanted to kill Him. So worthless was He in His own hometown. Jesus said unto them, "The prophet is only speaking down in his own village, in his own home," according to the Gospel of Mark. Over 60 years ago, in my home, childhood home, it happened in my home. God began to call my mother and my whole family. Our time had come. There is a believing family in the neighborhood. They had often spoken to my mother how important it would be to repent. But my mother thought that neighbor family would be the last place where God's kingdom could be found. We knew this family well. My mother began to pray and seek a connection to God. He went to church and to tent services and took me there also. But she did not get the peace of God to her conscience. But the sins pressed in her heart, and she wept often. In the places we visited, there were no believing people who would have preached the forgiveness of sins. Later, one time, the neighbor woman asked my mother to come visit her old believing mother, who was at the deathbed, who lived nearby. My mother went there, and after this, my mother's life changed. We saw that something had happened. She had received the gift of faith. The neighbor woman had preached her with the gospel of Jesus, in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. And my mother received the peace of God in her heart. God had helped her into his kingdom. Like Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, for the gospel, the righteousness of God appears from faith to faith. My mother told her friends and relatives what had happened. She started to carry her bed. She took care of matters that her conscience had told to take care of. Many of them did not want to deal with her anymore. They thought the mother had gone crazy. They did not want to talk to her about faith. After many, many years, my uncle invited us over. He had become seriously ill. God had stopped him and now spoke to him and called him. We went to him. After he had discussed for a while with my mother, he received the grace of repentance. He believed the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. That which had been preached in weakness gained strength in her heart. After only a few weeks, she was away. He was away. So short was my uncle's life in faith on earth. Dear believing sisters and brothers, the matter is so. Our job is to proclaim the gospel of that what God has done for us. Even though we so often feel that we are so sinful and our faith is so weak, but nevertheless, for that reason, Jesus sent his own into the world to preach the gospel throughout the world. We plant, other believers water. Only God can give growth, as Paul writes to the Corinthians. For the righteousness that comes through faith is the work of God in us. It is totally in the work of the caller. In the letter to the Romans, it is written that he has defined before they have been called. Those that have been called, he has made righteous. He that has made righteous, they have also been enlightened. What does this mean for you today? Has the time come for you in your life to take the Master into your life and to believe the gospel? The time of God has come for you. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And from God you can receive strength to become his child. Another bad matter in our text was this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus once taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, and there is also thy kingdom come. Do you believe, dear friend, that the kingdom of God is here, that it can be found here at the summer services in the midst of people? The Pharisees came to Jesus once and asked, "When shall the kingdom of God come?" Jesus answered, "The kingdom of God will not come in a visible way. You can pray that the kingdom of God can come into your life, and so that the will of God could be fulfilled in you, so that you would become a child of God through faith." And a third part here, "Repent ye." In other translation, it says to convert. Repenting or converting does not mean a little change of direction, but it means that we take a complete turn of 180 degrees towards heaven. But according to the Bible, we cannot repent. The repentance is a work of God. He influences in us so that we are ready, that we could receive the forgiveness of sins when we hear it in the sermon. Apostle Paul writes that faith cometh from hearing. The most important matter of life is, as Jesus taught his listeners, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of this will be given unto you." And from a part of Martin Luther's catechism, "I believe that God, that Jesus, the Son of Christ, true God, born of the Virgin Mary, true person, is my Lord. He has saved me, judged and cursed person, bought to be his own, and set me free from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with the holy, expensive blood, and with the suffering and death of the innocent. He set me free so that I would be with him, and so I would live obedient in his kingdom and serve him in eternal righteousness, in innocence and salvation. As he arise from the dead, so too will I arise. This is surely true." This is what the reformer of faith, Martin Luther, wrote. The fourth point of this Bible was believe the gospel, or to believe the gospel, as the old Bible says. It is written in the letter to the Hebrews, but faith is that trust in that which we hope, and believing that which we cannot see. The gospel is a joyous message of Jesus the Messiah. He atoned our sins on the middle cross. The gospel means that Jesus is mine and your Savior. And for that reason, today, we can believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. When we believe in this way, God gives our strength to be his child. The Apostle John writes in his Gospel, "But all who received him, he gave strength to become a child, and those who believed upon his word." We can ask, how was it in the time of Jesus? Did the people believe upon him? It happened as Jesus taught in the parable of two ways in the Gospel of Matthew. The gate is narrow and the way is narrow, but only a few are those who find this way. With our mind, it is impossible to believe, for it is completely contrary. As it is written in the letter to the Hebrews, through faith we understand. Through faith, one day we will get to heaven. There are no temptations. There are no doubts. There we can rejoice and praise God forever. But we are still along the journey, and we need support. and that we receive in the gospel. It is written in the letter to the Hebrews in a nice, comforting way. Let us therefore go through faith to the gracious seat, so we would find mercy and grace at the right time. Therefore, it is important that we come listen to the word of God, so that we would receive strength to our weak faith. You who have seek for the peace of God in your heart, and you want to believe, you can, at this moment, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you, travel friend, who so often you have doubted and you feel that sin so easily attaches, you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood and be comforted. Dear sisters and brothers in faith, when I came here before you to preach the word of God, I felt as Paul when he wrote the 1 Corinthians letter. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with my words and wisdom to proclaim the word of God. These feelings I have only from God. We can hear the words, and only through faith we can get to heaven, and through this faith that is acceptable to God. And I ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe. Jesus' name, amen.